The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when the disciples got into that boat so long ago, they didn't think any more about doing it than you and I do getting into our cars to drive across town. But isn't it interesting to think how an ordinary trip became anything than ordinary, but rather a white-knuckled ride? But isn't that the way life goes? Life is what happens when we're making plans for other things. I mean, you start out the day thinking it's all going to be great, and then in blow the storms of various sizes and various kinds. Storms that we have to deal with, somehow work through. Now, why do the storms come to your life and my life? Well, for a number of reasons. Sometimes the storms are our own fault. We have no one to blame but ourselves. We decided to do things our own way. We decided to take charge, and in comes all the consequences. Wow, I shouldn't have done that. Sometimes the storms happen in your life and my life because of the gross negligence of others. And all of a sudden, we wind up having to face all kinds of things. We think to ourselves, what on earth were they thinking? And sometimes the storms just happen. I mean, that's the way this world is. And it could be that the storms in your life and mine can often be kind of a complicated series of storms by all those reasons. And yet, they come, and we think to ourselves, why did I get out of bed? Why do I have to go through this? And that's just the way storms can go. Now, it's interesting, in the case of the disciples, they're simply trying to follow orders. Jesus says, "Get in the boat, I'm going to dismiss everybody, I'll catch up to you later." And so we call that godly obedience. They're just following orders. You would think that when you just follow the Lord's orders and you obey and you just go with him, everything should go well, right? And yet in our gospel reading, we hear that they're getting beaten by the storm and the winds are against them. Now, it makes it kind of interesting to draw the conclusion this is what can happen to the church from time to time. We're all in the boat, we're trying to make a difference in the name of Jesus, and it just seems like it's all getting us nowhere. What's the use being battered and smashed with many a conflict, many a doubt? And yet that's the way life is. That's the way it was. And that's the way it is. It's not easy to follow the Lord's prescriptions. And that's what the disciples were doing. They were just following orders. And it's a white-knuckle ride in a boat in the sea. In the dark. It's hard to face these kinds of things in your life and my life. The good news in our gospel reading is Jesus sees. And Jesus comes. Now, do you think he showed up wanting to scare the bejeebers out of them? I don't think so. But isn't it interesting how in the middle of this storm where they're facing all kinds of challenges, wondering if they're going to make it, he shows up and he just scares them. How many ways can that happen in your life and my life? I mean, you know, he's actually showing up to help us and we're just still frightened and we're wondering what's going to happen and what we're going to do when really he's there to help us. The good news is that it's interesting. Did you notice how often Matthew says, immediately? It's interesting, Mark in his gospel actually uses that as a literary guide in his gospel, immediately. It's interesting how that happens in our gospel readings, but it's done so that we know that even if it's hard for us to make sense of the storms we're going through, who's on his way? Who's coming to our rescue? It's the Lord Jesus. That's good news. That's the gospel. He shows up and he says, interestingly enough, don't be afraid. How many ways does God have to say that in your life and my life? Well, as often as he needs to. And that little boat of disciples being tossed about by the wind and the waves of the sea, the storm they're in, you know, they start looking and they start seeing. And it's interesting. Peter starts looking and he says, If it's you, if, it's not entirely clear, if it's you, command me to come out. I mean, no one else is saying it in the boat. They're just being tossed about by what's going on, the storm they're in, wondering what's going on. They're frightened by this image they're seeing. And Peter, if it's you, command me to come out. Now, that's faithfulness. And of course, Jesus says, come. Is Peter afraid anymore? Is the storm holding him hostage to fear anymore? No. And so he steps out of the boat. What do you suppose the other disciples are thinking? That nut? What's he doing? I mean, that's the crazy thing to do. I mean, how many of us would want to just step out of the boat of safety where the only hope we have is to get to the shore in that little ragtag thing? And he steps out of the boat, and Jesus is walking on water. Now, Peter is walking on water, no longer being held hostage to the storm all around him. I mean, this is stuff of movies. Here he is, he's walking on the water, he's looking at Jesus, he's focused on him, and now everything else is in its rightful place. Certainly, he's got to deal with the storm as he walks toward Jesus, but it's not holding him hostage anymore. That's what faith does. And though being faithful isn't easy, that's what faith does. It steps out. It goes forward. It trusts in the Lord, no matter what's happening. I mean, think about it. That little congregation, and the only one who's stepping out in faith is Peter. And to the chagrin of everyone else, why is he saying that? Why is she talking about this? Why are they trying to take us this direction? What's going on? And yet, as long as Peter is focused on Jesus, it's okay. He's going to be okay. As you keep looking to Jesus, whatever kind of storms you're in today, they have their rightful place in your life. They'll serve God's purposes, but they won't hold you hostage to what's going on in your life as you keep focusing on Jesus. That's what faith does. It keeps its eye on Jesus. So get the picture. It's dark. It's a storm. And Peter is walking on water, walking toward Jesus. And as long as he keeps his eyes focused, everything's okay. I can't tell you how many times I lose track and I start seeing the storm and it gets too big. And that's what Peter did. Can you say blurp, blurp, blurp? He sinks. He's no longer focused on Christ. The storm and the fear of it has flooded back into his heart and into his mind, and he starts sinking. But what does faith say? Lord, save me. Go to prayer. We can pray that anytime storms blow in for any reasons, and we can trust that Christ will be immediately there. Immediately. Boy, it's hard to see. It's hard to trust. And yet this gospel truth is for us today to receive and to trust in and to exercise when any and all the storms blow in to our lives. Lord, save me, Peter says. And there it is. Immediately, Jesus reached out, grabbed a hold of him. Think about it. Not only does the Lord see what's going on, he comes to the rescue. He rescues, but then he also has to chide, because the real problem is not the storm. The real problem is the unbelief that is storming in Peter's heart and mind, and storms in yours and my heart and mind. Why did you doubt? Jesus says to Peter. And of course, it's because that's our struggle. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And they worshiped Jesus. How many ways has your family gone through these things? And then in the end, you just worship and trust in Jesus. How many ways have we as a congregation wrestled through the storms, realizing our unbelief and our doubt, and then realizing it's Jesus who comes to our rescue time and again, time and again. Think about all the storms that you've been through in your life. How many ways has the Lord delivered you, and you know it, and you're thankful? How many ways has the Lord delivered you from storms, and you're really not that aware of it, and he's done it nonetheless? How many ways has he kept you from storms? God only knows. But no matter the causes of the storms in your life, no matter how many ways the Lord has delivered you, there is a storm you'll never have to go through. Because following this storm, Jesus continued to the storm brewing over the horizon that only he could see, that he knew was the storm that was meant for him. And he continued to that place where he'd be nailed to a cross, where the wrath of God would be unleashed in all of its fury, where he would be beaten and whipped by the wrath of God, so that as he endured that storm of eternal significance, in epic proportion to any and all the storms we can even fathom, what he went through for our sin and transgression and wickedness, for all the ways that we have failed God and followed our own sinful ways, he faced all that wrath. And as he faced that on the cross, there was a calm and a peace that was being established between all of us and our Father. There was a calm and a peace being established that nothing in this world could disturb again because of what he did on the cross, taking the wrath of God, so that now we know our war with God is over. Our peace with God is settled, and nothing can stir up those waters again. We have peace with God so that we can go through all the storms of this world, knowing that the Lord has promised to care for us, knowing that the Lord can rescue us. So anytime and every time storms come in to your life and my life, we can say, Lord, save me, trusting that he will do just that. Because it's not about Peter anymore being rescued. He's been saved. He's been swept to the shores of forever. He is at peace with God. But now it's about your life and my life. It's about our lives as a congregation. It's about the storms that we go through, the challenges that we face, the things we need to deal with, trusting that the Lord will rescue us as we exercise our faith, walking with the Lord through our opportunities of mission and ministry. It's about your life and my life now. knowing that he's doing this. This is his ministry description for your life and my life. And there are places where the storms continue, and yet we can trust that the Lord is with us, taking us forward, blessing us. So as you go through this day, what may blow in? God only knows. As you go through this week, what may stir up in your heart and mind? What will happen in your life or the lives of those around you that you care about? Trust the Lord. Call upon him for yourself and for others. And as you think about what he's done for you, as you think about the storm he faced that you will never have to face, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep looking to him, trusting in him, knowing that he is the ultimate first responder for your life and in the lives you care about. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And all of God's people say, amen.